Coming up in just a moment, we'll find out about an effort to get Wisconsin State Parks spruced up just in time for Earth Day.
First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Many animals have evolved the ability to feign death. Writer Jill Sisson-Quinn witnessed this unusual act of survival in a groundhog.
One day, a groundhog scampered through my yard from pine to pine, as if the pines were bases in a game of tag, putting a paw on each one. Halfway to the bird feeder, our eyes met, and although I would have joyfully watched him enact some clumsily acrobatic sunflower seed thievery that surely over time I would regret, he changed his mind and ran away. A week later, I stopped before a lean-to of 2x4s in the barn. Behind it hid the groundhog, looking very wild amongst all that planed wood. One day, as I moved the garden hose, there came the rasp of a threatened animal. In the yard stood my dog and the groundhog, nose to nose. The groundhog was not running, but sticking it out strongly. They circled eye to eye, opponents in a wrestling match before the first move. There was much hissing and lunging. Afraid of bites, I called my husband, who emerged from the barn with a canoe paddle, as if he could draw them apart as easily as a boat from shore. But the ferry had already left. The groundhog collapsed rigidly right in front of the dog's bared teeth. She was no longer Betsy, but Cerberus, the three-headed dog who guarded the entrance to Hades. I'd read of high-stress animals like shrews dying from fright alone. My dog, unprovoked, followed me to the house for water. "It's dying," my husband said when I returned. We stared at it, all four black paws in the air, as if it had donned gloves for its own funeral. A fly was already encircling one of its toes. If we knew anything about rigor mortis, we might have seen through its high-speed act. To let it die in peace, my husband headed to the house and I to the garden. But a moment later, the groundhog was gone. Groundhogs don't commonly play possum, though the ability to feign death has evolved in many species. I'm fascinated by this act of survival, part psychology, part art, so contrary to everything a body stands for, so brave and beautiful and smart. Most predators aren't scavengers, and scavengers aren't predators at all. Do the last thing a predator expects, and he won't want to eat you. Then rise before buzzards start circling. It's almost enough to make you believe eating isn't as important as the chase itself, that being eaten is a reasonable price for the opportunity to play a convincing part, a sort of animal Olympics and Animal Academy Awards, predator and prey turned athlete and thespian. Essayist Scott Russell Sanders writes, "If we are ever going to dwell in the house of the Lord, I believe we do so now. If any house is divinely made, it is this one here, this great whirling mansion of planets and stars." I agree. It was on my own 2 acres where I witnessed the resurrection, after all. And like most spirits, the little groundhog disappeared after he performed his miracle. I haven't seen him again, but he has left me with faith and wonder.
Jill Sisson-Quinn is a writer in central Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik and is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more information, visit wisconsinlife.org or search for Wisconsin Life on Facebook.
With Earth Day right around the corner, many are eager to give a little bit back to the land in whatever way they can. 2 groups in Wisconsin have a suggestion.
The Wisconsin DNR and Friends of Wisconsin State Parks are hosting a series of events called Work, Play, Earth Day. It's designed to get volunteers out to their local state park to help clean up and to make some improvements before the busy summer season gets underway.
Joining us now in the studio to tell us more about the event is Roger Putnam, president of Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. Roger, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, what was the inspiration for Work, Play, Earth Day?
Well, of course, we all try to live the life of every day is Earth Day, right? So it certainly isn't enough to just have one day for Earth Day. So we have Earth Day Month, if you will. So this was born about 6 years ago, where we, you know, really did not feel that one day was quite enough, one weekend was quite enough. So it's expanded happily. In the last 6 years, it's doubled in size. So we now have 3 weekends devoted to the you know, getting out to the parks, joining existing friends groups in the parks, and doing what you can to help out. So, you know, as much as we're enjoying the nice warm weather today, we actually had to cancel one of the activities in one of the northern parks this weekend because they had about 6 inches of snow. So that was kind of a drag.
Well, it is still Wisconsin. But in terms of what people can expect if they would like to get out and help out, what sort of work are we talking about when we're helping to get the parks ready for summer?
Fun work, Gene. Really fun work.
So let's say that again. Fun work. Okay.
Really fun. I mean, pretty much what you'd expect. Raking, clearing trails, getting campsites ready, painting, planting. There's a lot of the kids that come out. I mean, that's what's so fun about these events is just the multi-generational approach to it. So you've got a lot of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and, you know, high school classes, middle school classes coming out and joining with, you know, senior citizens who are, you know, really the backbone of a lot of the work that goes on in our parks these days. And, you know, just it's a fun day. So, you know, there's a number of ways to access the information. I mean, there's a long list of parks. We had five properties over last weekend. We've got 11 coming up this weekend. And then the final weekend of work play is the whatever the May 3rd weekend, and that there's four parks there. So if you want more information, I definitely encourage you to go to either the DNR website or fwsp.org. That's fwsp.org.
Now, this is a rough winter for us humans. Did it take a toll on our parks, too? Do they need extra work because of the winter?
You know, absolutely. I wish I could say I've been out to them so far, but as you all know, the snow was upon us just this last week. So, but yeah, it's been a very tough winter on all fronts, and particularly our state parks. You know, the state parks they need a lot of attention, you know, under the best of conditions. So, that's the role of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, and we love working with the DNR and helping them get the job done.
Now, when you're taking a look, obviously you can't get to every state park as part of this. Do you pick out the ones that are busy? Or see the most use or need the most work? Or how do you identify the sites that you work on?
Well, it really starts with where there is a motivated and robust individual friends group. So, you know, Buckhorn or a Devil's Lake or a Peninsula, Lakeshore in Milwaukee. I mean, these are groups that are active no matter what. And so it really starts there. And their ability to, you know, at its core, they're going to be there. And so so we try to encourage others to join them. So that you really all you have to do is show up, maybe have some work gloves and inspiration, and the rest is pretty much laid out for you. It's a lot of fun, and there's always food there and, you know, games, and it's quite an event.
So this is important. I don't need to know anything or how to do anything, and I can still show up and be useful?
That's right.
Okay. So even a radio host could do this. Even a radio host could do this, I guess. So you hosted the first set of events last Saturday. Some of it was snowed out, sounds like. But beyond that, for the places where you were able to have a turnout, how'd that go?
It was great. We've had just record turnouts. As I had said, the program itself has doubled in size. We're seeing, I mean, the first weekend again was the big weekend is this weekend. So it's the most parks. It's the time that is really closest to Earth Day. So that's when we really expect the most turnout. But I think we were trying to do the math when I was coming over here. It's something in the neighborhood of 750 to 800 people, volunteers coming out to the parks during the course of this these 3 weeks, and they just they really make a big difference. Planting flowers, trees. So when people really start to hit the parks at the end of May, they're all gussied up and ready to go.
Bigger picture, what do we in Wisconsin gain by having a well kept, well maintained state park system?
Well, I mean, the recreation aspect, the fitness aspect, you know, families being together, you know, gaining a keener appreciation for the environment. I mean, one of the things that we're trying to do at FWSP is really do a much better job of getting into the cities and getting a more, you know, getting some of the urban folks more interested in just appreciating the outdoors, things that they can do, help show them, you know, folks that wouldn't normally get out to parks, how to appreciate them. And so that's really going to be one of the things we're going to try to do a lot better job of. And I know the DNR is interested interested in doing the same thing.
Now, you did just mention that if people are interested in volunteering, you don't need any particular skills to do that. Just show up and people will point you in the right direction. But if people want to get involved, do they have to register ahead of time? Do they just show up at the park and come ready to work? Or how does that work?
Well, Gene, yeah, you really can just show up. And you can show up. Generally speaking, people start in the morning, 9 o'clock, and work most of the day. So you really can just it's really almost refreshing that you can just show up somewhere without a pass or a ID and just say, what can I do? And somebody will be glad to point you in the direction of a wheelbarrow or a plat of plants and get you going.
Now, if someone can't make it to one of these events, or they do and they get a taste for this and they say, hey, I want to do this on a regular basis, is there room for that? Are there volunteers at parks who do things throughout the season?
I love Rob. He's a great setup man, right, Jane? absolutely. I mean, if you really want to get involved, go to our website, fwsp.org, and look for the park nearest you. And I guarantee you there's an organization in existence. We've got more than 80 individual friends groups. And, we're working year-round at either raising money or identifying projects, working with the DNR. So it's a year-round labor of love.
And in the future, I mean, you've mentioned this has doubled in, what, 6 years?
Correct.
And you're hoping to see that happen again in 2 years, 4 years?
Well, I tell you, in general, our organization is just really trying to get a lot more aggressive in outreach and getting the word out so that more people can enjoy parks. We're at historic levels now of people. I forget how many millions, 13 million people are enjoying state parks now. So the more the merrier. I know that there's always a concern about, overuse, but I don't think we're anywhere near that. And it's just a great way to enjoy life.
Roger, briefly before we let you go, what's the next park you're looking forward to visiting, not on a working basis?
Well, it's funny. We have our annual or one of our quarterly meetings at Bong State Park, which is an interesting name. But that's our next stop. We have a regional meeting there where we have other friends groups coming in and share their thoughts so we can do a better job to help parks.
Well, Roger, thanks so much for being here today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Roger Putnam is the president of Friends of Wisconsin State Parks. We've got a link to the Work, Play, Earth Day events and to the list of participating state parks on the Central Time Facebook page.